I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
It was a defensive exercise.
Yeah, best defense is a good offense. Or is it the other way around?
Welcome to Brattleworld. I am your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider-Dan. And in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best-kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. And welcome to another edition of Secret Defenders, where I task my guests to defend their favourite movies that are underrated, infamous, or obscure. And welcome back, Mr. Dan Burgess. Hello!
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 Thank you for having me back.
Well, I thought after our lovely, happy-go-lucky podcast last time, who else could I get back to?
We destroyed the world with the last one.
Yes, we apologise for, you know, the violent outburst of depression throughout the United Kingdom and internationally as well. We do have international listeners.
We seem to have affected the entire world.
Yes, you know, Donald Trump's, you know, poised on that big red button.
Yeah.
I'm sure after he hears this podcast, we're going to be nuked directly. Yeah.
Unfortunately, and I would like to point out that this isn't my fault.
No, I'm not. No, it's purely my fault or Thread's fault. Who knows? Who knows?
Both or three.
Have you been? You've been good?
I'm all right, yes.
Yes.
It's not so bad. I've been watching some strange...
Yes. We are going to certainly get into... So the film we're going to talk about is Brian Yuzna's 1989 body horror cult classic Society.
Is it?
It is.
Isn't it Top Gun tonight?
Top Gun, no. I'm afraid not. I mean, to be honest, that the oily, sweaty volleyball scene could lead very much into
that's
a good bit of shunting.
That's where I'm getting confused. Oh, the shunting.
Oh, the shunting.
You're in for some right shunting tonight.
I don't want to talk about the shunting too early. We don't, because it's it's the finale of the film.
Spoilers,
yeah. We don't want to talk about that too early, but we will get to a good shunting. Sounds disgusting.
It would
probably put you off sexual intercourse for life if you didn't like. I mean, I've seen and had sexual intercourse since.
I will admit, I think I saw it when I was about 15, 16,
yeah.
And it did put me off boobs for 17 full minutes.
I mean, that's impressive. That's impressive for
a
teenager to be.
Worrying times.
We won't get into the body horror element just yet. So this was Brian Yuzna's first film. He was famous for producing Reanimator,
yeah.
Herbert West Reanimator, based on H.P. Lovecraft's work. He was a really big fan of Lovecraft. Lovecraftian cosmic.
Yes.
Yes.
The Lovecraftian elements are very strong with him.
Yes. He did. Did he From Beyond as well? Or
From Beyond.
Produced From
and then
Beyond.
And he's done like the Reanimator sequel.
Yeah, yeah.
With the guy who.
Stuart Gordon, I want to say.
Gordon, who did like. Castle Freak.
That's one I haven't seen, but it's been remade, actually.
Yeah, they're remaking it now, and I think it's available on Shudder.
Oh, exclusive.
So,
is it Fangoria and Full Moon?
Yeah, and because the girl is making it, she was in it.
Barbara Crampton. Yeah, so she's cool. I like her a lot.
Yeah. I don't know if they're doing it in the original cast one as well. Mm. Because the guy, I think Stuart Gordon, or someone involved in the film, owned that castle.
Okay.
So you probably see that castle in quite a few of his films.
So he
was, I'm sticking this in it.
Yeah, here we go. You want to rent it out? Yeah. So he's potentially a castle freak himself.
Everyone stays here. Everyone lives here. Nobody escapes them. You will be in my film, you bastards.
So this is actually the first one he directed.
Directed.
So this is kind of, he was going into kind of new territory with this.
So she is the triple threat, director, writer, producer.
And, you know, horror icon. but yeah, I like a lot of the kind of Brian Yuzna stuff. A Guyver, he produced the Guyver.
dolls, you know, loads of creepy, weird and wacky kind of stuff he's yeah. done. But this is quite
the
an interesting...
Toy Maker, which was Night of the Dead or whatever it is, 5 or...
Oh, okay, yeah, maybe not the...
One of those mega sequels.
Oh,
And also, the most scary film he did was he was involved with Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Of course, well, that is terrifying in its own right. Yeah, not great. I mean, that's probably his most mainstream... I mean, that's Disney, isn't it? So, like, that's his most mainstream work, so...
So I think he was just a writer on that, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, probably.
I think he created probably the weirder creatures.
Yeah. It's probably like, we'll get Screaming Ronald George on it. Yeah. We'll get him doing some
Screaming
weird...
George. Yeah. Names
I know. He created all the kind of body horror effects in this. But again, we will get to that. But
We digress. You might find that's a loss.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What is the plot to Society?
Well, the plot of Society is essentially... what every teenager worries about is a feeling that they don't fit in.
Oh, always, yeah.
It's basically... Now, I often used to say in the 80s and 90s, if there was a bad actor, they used to give them the character that was their name.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to remember a name.
Like Keith Chegwin in Extras.
So, funnily enough, Billy Warlock character in this is called Billy. Now, I'm not saying anything about his acting skills.
Of course not, no.
But, however... I digress again. So Billy's like a more of a jock.
Yeah, kind of preppy.
He doesn't ride horses. He's like a preppy.
Yeah, he's not a jock. He's short enough that he could probably be a jockey. Yeah. But no, he's yeah.
And
like
he wears cut off clothes like yeah, all the 80s style crop tops.
Any opportunity to get his top off, he's doing it.
Sweaty.
But yeah, he's in this kind of high class, upper class kind of world.
He's part of a very high class family who's in the gated community style of people.
Yes,
And he doesn't feel like he fits in. Feels like everything's a bit odd with this family. Yeah. And we
doesn't really get on with his family.
Basically, the film begins with him in a fever dream, essentially. So he's in his house. He can hear basically like what sounds like a weird orgy going on.
Yeah, but lots of like
it's dark.
It's like
touch me.
Yeah,
touch me on me. Not there. Yeah, somewhere though.
It's like the kind of noises you hear through the wall, you know, from your neighbor's house. Yeah. Those kind of the things, or in your parents' room that you don't want to hear as a teenage boy. You're like, pillows over the ears.
But instead of just like going, I don't like the sound of that. Yeah. He's going around his mansion with a big knife.
Yeah,
terrified of what's going on.
Yeah,
and you think, is this? It's almost like a middle. It's almost like they cut a scene from the middle of the film and put it as the first scene.
Yeah, it was a bit odd to see straight away this kid's, you know, something's in the house or something's going on in the house, but you don't really see anything.
And then the lights come on.
But yeah.
And Nan's on the stairs. Now, her name's Nan.
Yeah, her name is Nan, but she's the mother. Yeah, she's not a Nan.
Really, really confusing.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into the kind of parentage of later on.
She's on the stairs all with her lingerie on, like, oh, Billy.
Yeah. What are you doing, Billy?
Naughty boy.
In a way, though, I think that kind of feeds into the kind of psychology scenes.
Yeah, well, the next scene is
the psychologist going, you know, I'm walking around with a knife and, you know, what am I doing? And,
we're nuts.
Yeah, and he's kind of, and the psychologist is like, you know, you feel alienated, you feel alone. He's like, and to be fair, like, it's like, he's worried about, there's a line where he's like, you know, oh, it's all fine in my family. It's, you know, just incest and all this. And it is quite weird because there's a lot of like intimate touching between like the father and the daughter and then the mother and the daughter. Yeah. And I think it is quite explicit. It's quite explicitly shown. It's not even implied.
I think it's supposed to be though. Yeah. And that's from the get-go. That first 5 minutes, well, not even 5 minutes, the film is the plot.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
pretty much just stuck in.
That's all you need.
Tells you there's a weird family, something odd is going on with that family.
Definitely.
And the kids thinks he's going mad.
Yeah.
And that is the film.
That's the film.
The idea of the synopsis, like, if you put a synopsis on it, it is what's wrong with the upper class. I think the tagline to the film was, you are what they eat.
Yes.
So it's, you know...
Instead of eat the rich, it's more like eat the poor. and the sister, the family look absolutely nothing like... Like Billy, he's got these kind of dark hair, kind of like the family have got a much lighter skin tone as well. Yeah. Like they're like kind of almost, you know, how you would imagine kind of the Aryan race type.
I was about to say if they had big red swastika
yeah.
flags on the walls, you wouldn't be surprised.
Exactly.
It's a little
exactly.
bit like a family out of, like, you expect one of them to sing Climb Every Mountain any minute.
Yeah,
like
you that. Know, it's the Von Trapps or something.
they walk around wearing drapes. I mean, that kind of... So that kind of family, the girl's blonde hair, yeah. blue eyes. Yeah, very, she's very
about,
pretty.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And she's about to have, like, a coming out party yeah. And you know, and she... I think she's the one that shows kind of... like Billy, the most kind of love and admiration, yeah. like obvious kind of like you're like, yeah, your parents disapprove of you hanging out with like Milo. I think his
Milo,
friend,
yeah,
his friend is, but you know, I love you and I care about you.
Yeah, yeah.
And he genuinely cares about her because yeah. she kind of relates to him. But the parents are just
the
like,
parents
yeah.
are very,
yeah, they're very dismissive. And they're very, like, he's like, oh, I see Milo's out there. And he's like, yeah, he's gonna, oh, and he walks up the stairs. His dad doesn't even like have a conversation.
That's a real shit.
He's a real dick. And he gets like, like the acting in this film is, the dialogue is cheesy.
That's a terrible word.
The acting is scene chewing. Even like every
every
character is doing character acting, and it's just like really over the top.
I'm making the most of this. It's the last film I'm ever gonna be in,
and it's just it. But it kind of weirdly fits.
Yeah.
Because you could kind of, you know, the kind of, if you don't, like, if you haven't hung around with, like, people from, like, the upper class or, you know, like, you know, old money and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
They can be, like, a bit eccentric and a bit odd, you know. And so them acting, like, a bit, little bit weird is not that out of place.
Yeah.
Within this film.
It is very 80s.
Oh, it's cheesy in 80s. I mean, I guess we're bordering on the 90s, 1989, but it's, yeah, it's very, it's big hair, it's, you know, big bosoms, you know, all that sort of stuff.
And I always remember the scene in it, and when I watched it again, I thought, I'm glad I just didn't misremember this.
Yeah.
There's just a scene where they're on the beach, it's just, you can basically see what you have for breakfast through it.
Pretty much.
And I'm like, that's just horrendous.
Yeah.
I think that's
those really high kind of were they thongs? Are they thongs?
I don't know what they are.
They're almost
I think the normal
bathing attire
match just pulled to death.
Yeah, it's like, kind of it's almost like, you know, like where your pelvis bones is. Yeah, that's where they kind of rest. But yeah, and he has like, because he's kind of, this kid's kind of got everything, but he still feel like he's got the money, he's got friends, he's very popular, he's on the debate, he's winning the debate team in the worst way possible. I've never said, it's not even a debate really, is it? It's just like, I'm going to make fun of him.
Yeah.
He's a loser. Oh, look at the way he dresses. And he gets distracted in a very Sharon
Stone-esque
way while he's debating.
Yeah, so that the girl who played that was Devin DeVasquez or something.
Yeah, maybe.
And she was a Playboy bunny.
She was a Playboy bunny. That does not surprise me.
Yeah, and she does. It's funny because she's like, he's brown haired, dark skin, so is she.
Mm.
And it's like throughout the film, is that kind of like the opposites?
Yeah.
Thing like the other badass posh guy.
Yeah, yeah. Ted Ferguson. Yeah. Ted the Tycoon Ferguson.
He's a dark skin,
yeah,
black
yeah,
hair,
yes, yeah,
and then it's almost like the cowboys
or the black
hats
hat.
And the
yeah.
white hats kind of thing,
yeah.
But
then even like the fair skinned people
come together at the end and just yeah,
yeah. But even like the fair skinned people are, and the light haired, you know, the Aryan type people, they're all kind of part of the conspiracy as well. So yeah, but it's, I mean, because we don't know who's in on this conspiracy throughout the film really until like the end. Like the reveal at the end. Like the main theme for me throughout this film is just paranoia.
Yeah, you're
paranoid totally throughout it.
You think that it's him going mad.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the film that really says
outside,
that point to it where you can see why he's paranoid.
Yeah, sure.
But there isn't anything like, he doesn't find like an arm under his bed
no.
or anything.
Yeah,
or like anything. Blood on the car.
Yeah, it's not like a Blue Velvet where he finds like an item and then delves into this deeper dark world. There are things that he just thinks he's seeing.
Yeah.
Like there's a
hearing.
Yeah, hearing and just like, you know, and later on in the film he realizes he's not going mad. And you know, he's asking these people like, "What are you doing to me? What's happening? You know what you're doing." And
but early on, you do think he's not. There must be something in it,
yeah,
because there's something watching his sister up through the wardrobe.
Through the window, and there's creepy music.
The wardrobe's like, he's in the clothes.
Mm.
If you remember,
yeah, that's right.
And she's getting changed, and it's like, "Wah wah, chicka wah wah."
Yeah, very much.
Wah.
I think that actress pretty much spends the entirety of the film in negligee.
Yes,
pretty much.
I think that's what I most remember when I was a teenager. That well-worn VHS tape.
But then we find out in that and that wardrobe is her kind of
ex-boyfriend
who kind of jumps at the
wardrobe. Leaps on her. You must believe me.
You must strangle her. Yeah, I need to talk to you. Yeah. And it's like, you know, this.
Be quiet, just like strangled to be, in to a be fair, very 80s fashion.
Yeah, and to be honest, his reactions and his kind of motivations are a bit off in the film.
He's possibly the worst actor in it.
Yeah, probably.
No offense to that.
No, I'm sure he's fine in other stuff, but I think his character was not written particularly well. What I did find interesting watching the DVD special features, I found out that he said that they kind of exercised him. The reason he's not kind of inducted into the society, or the reason they choose him for a good shunting is that he's of Jewish descent. And you see in the funeral, they're in a synagogue.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was quite interesting. And like we were talking about the kind of, you know, the
there is that air of the Aryan,
you know, Nazism, and like we say, a lot of the characters that are not part of society are kind of, you know, brown hair,
or on the out,
yeah,
so people who are on the outskirts. It's the bad,
yeah, bad influences.
Like the tycoon, yeah, has got like his own tent in a party.
Oh god, yeah, he's got his own. He's running his own party. He's getting, you know, he's like, at the end of the film, he's like, oh, we've got an internship for you in Washington, yeah, and. The judge. We'll get to the judge later, but he's one of my favorite characters. It's really, really odd. But it is very much like the bourgeoisie versus the kind of proletariat. But again, we don't really, really get that. We don't know the lineage of Billy until really the end.
Yeah.
But again, like I think, and like you said, every teenager can relate to, you know, wanting to be on the in crowd, or wanting to go to that party, or wanting to be with that girl, or, you know, not feeling, or, you know, the way they feel, or, you know, be it sexuality, or, you know, you're into horror films, you know, and other people aren't, or something like that.
Comics.
You know, yeah, comics. Yeah.
All that weird.
Yeah, all the stuff that I used to get made fun of.
Yeah.
And now they just happen to be the biggest selling movies of all time. So
we run the world.
We
now.
Run the geeks. The geeks have inherited the earth. But no,
it's a funny thing because he's not like, as you say, he's really popular.
Yeah.
He's got a hot girl with an amazing camel toe. Oh my god. Honestly, there's some horrible shit goes on in this film.
Yeah.
But that camel toe will haunt your dreams.
Well,
it's like the face hugger from Alien.
Yeah. I didn't notice it rewatching it today.
I'm gonna rewatch
it. But now we have to watch it and see how bad it is.
Everyone's gonna
be like,
that's exactly 15 minutes and 7 seconds.
Mr. Nude, Mr. Flesh, or whatever they call it, whatever the internet thing is.
It's just like it's kind of like that not exploitation,
no.
But it's that kind of thing where the cameras like
leaving, yeah, just a little too long.
And you're rubbing her belly, and it's like, yeah, something gonna pop out of there.
And it's very.
I know what this film is about. Yeah. Is something gonna come out of that?
Yeah, I mean, they could have even done that. You know, all kind of just like morphing into something. But yeah, there's that scene where all the kids walk over and they squirt all the
exactly.
It's very line, yeah. It? It's like she's getting. She goes and she even goes, not in my hair.
Yeah.
None of it goes in her hair, but she goes, not in my hair. And then later on, the girl comes over. She picks it up and she like
squirts
in his face. And I was like, yeah, it's so blatantly sexual. I think Brian Reznor is like, he's like, I make it blatantly about sex. Like a lot of your horror movies are about some form of, you know, living, dying, having sex, copulation.
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 Well, that stuff comes into one of the famous quotes.
Yeah, exactly. After Blanchard, I think he's called, the ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, David Blanchard.
David Blanchard. You've got a good memory for these sort of things.
Yeah, and nothing else. Absolutely pointless things will stick in and everything else.
Same with me. I can tell you the entire cast of the Eternals characters that will be coming to the cinema sometime soon. But nobody cares. Nobody knows about that. Someone on another one of our fellow podcasts, Nerds Chatting, were talking about the Eternals, and they were like, oh, the space guys, they're going to be space stuff and space dudes. And I'm like, literally never been to space. None of those characters have ever gone to space. Created by space gods, but not ever in space. Sorry. There's been characters who are Eternals, like Thanos and Thor, who are from space, sure. But the Eternals, the real Eternals, main cast, never been to space. So I had to be that guy. Sorry, not sorry.
Well, I don't think you should ever apologise for...
Never. making someone feel smaller and wrong.
Yeah. As long as you do it nicely.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't laugh too much on the way out of the room.
Yeah. but yes. So, Blanchard. Well, Billy walks into this, him aggressively grabbing his sister, this Blanchard guy.
It's properly, weird.
Yeah.
It's not the most well-acted or well-written or whatever, but...
No.
It's of its time.
Yeah, exactly. But he walks in and he's like...
He's proper doing the old 80s, I'm gonna...
Yeah,
And the girl's just like...
Yeah.
And she's a bit like... But it's whether she's supposed to not look shocked because she knows what she is.
Yeah, maybe.
Or what she's involved
and
in.
And she could... And maybe she could... Yeah, potentially kill him if she wanted to, or do something. We don't know her abilities.
He just seems to be really going to town on it, to warn her.
Yeah,
I want to warn you.
I need to warn you. I need to talk to you. And he's grabbing her and shaking her, and he's like, and why hide it? Like, it looks like because Billy notices the car outside and goes, "Oh, I'll just go over to him." And then he looks in his own car for some reason, and then he goes over to the car, but he's not there. It's just like it's parked, and then he's in the wardrobe. So it's kind of like, okay, it's
wardrobe stuff.
But yeah, Billy walks in, kicks him out, obviously, like you would if someone was, attempting to attack your sister. Fair enough, chuck him out. And then during the beach scene, he goes over to Ted the Tycoon Ferguson, who's just like, "Hey, Billy boy, hey." Yeah. And he's just like, he's because the girlfriend is
wanna
like,
"Come and join us with tough shit, man."
Yeah, it's like,
"We're too cool for school and you're a shit."
Even though he's like one of the most popular kids in school, he's still like being made fun of. So I don't really like if he was like lower down the kind of food chain.
Doesn't even have glasses.
No, exactly.
You know that old 80s thing. Obviously, stick a pair of.
I think he needed some other kind of thing to kind of
pocket
make
protector or
some sort of like
chino.
Yeah, some sort of like any kind of thing that would make him more of an outsider.
Or just as far as to be. Hey guys, can I come join you in the party?
Even if he had like I went to see Midsummer the other day, and if it was like she's got anxiety attacks and that and things like that, panic attacks. But maybe something like that, anything that could make him like be made fun of more or make him more different. But he's just a preppy kid. That's
Billy Warlock, who was in Baywatch.
Exactly. So maybe because they cast Billy Warlock, they were like, no, he's not going to be able to maybe do that. And again,
maybe it was in the script that he wasn't allowed to be laughed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We have to remove all the stuff.
But yeah, there's a couple of moments he's like I enjoy his performance in it, but it's not every scene the strongest.
He's one of the better.
He is one of the better actors in it, but yeah, I'm sure we'll get onto that. but so he goes over to Ted and he's just like the Flash Thompson jock arsehole. Just every arsehole in every movie. When he's actually playing. He's playing like 15 or 16, 17, what have you. And he's like, "Yeah, Billy boy," makes fun of him and basically says, "Yeah, we'll send you a memo if you want to come to the party."
Yeah.
And then he just like embarrasses him. Then the girlfriend's annoyed at Billy because she can't get into the party. So then he kind of storms off. And then Blanchard comes up. And this is the reaction that I think is really weird because, again, like we said, he's kind of attacked and attempted to, rape his sister.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Oh, hey, what's up, Blanchard?" And then he goes, "Oh, yeah, I need to talk to you." And he goes, "Yeah, you were really out of line the other day when you..."
Really ticked me
out. Yeah, his reaction initially is like really positive, like, "Oh, hey." And he's like, "Yeah." And then he goes, "Wait a minute, you tried to attack my sister."
And he's like, "If my memory wasn't so bad, I'd have remembered that straight away, kid."
but then he's like, "No, I need to listen to this tape." He's got this like mini tape recorder.
Oh, that's boss. He hasn't just got a mini tape. He's got a full suitcase full of gadget.
Yeah, he's like Inspector Gadget in a case or something.
It's like he's a prize winner from the Gadget Show.
Tony Stark suitcase armor.
But yeah, this makes me laugh. He's got like one of those metal cases.
Yeah,
and it's full of wires and all kinds of stuff. And he just pulls out a dictaphone.
Yeah, that's it. That's what he did. The stupidest thing for me is when Billy's sister walks up and goes, "There's something in my earring." And I'm like, how do you not fucking notice the biggest fucking microphone you've ever seen? Something's going, like, what in my earring?
Vogue mic.
And it's not even like if it's a big chunky earring or like lots of little bits and something, like one of those kind of like kind of curtain-esque earring, it's all draping down, loads of little bits. Like if it was in that, I kind of noticed, but they pick the fucking tiniest earring and put a massive microphone on top of it and go, "I never noticed this before." But yeah, maybe.
Every time I walk past something metal, I wonder why my ear squeaked.
And then the dad's like, "Oh, it's a microphone, and this Blanchard's pretty good at electronics and all this." And he's like, like, yeah, he's been stalking my daughter and all this sort of stuff.
This bit of exposition is,
exactly,
very important.
It's
Pay attention, people. Watching.
Absolutely not important at all. You could probably get away with not having it. But then he listens to the tape that Blanchard has. You know, it's this coming out party, isn't it? She's going to. And the family are like, oh, I'm so excited. What are we going to do? Well, you know, first we dine and then comes copulation. And it's like, what the fuck? Okay. And then they've got to fast forward the tape and they're like, ooh, is it Jenny?
Well, they're laughing, because Jenny's laughing out Billy was so, like, gutted he can't come to the party.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's nearly...
And they're like,
it was so funny how Billy thought he couldn't come to the
party. Yeah,
then you can just, and then they fast forward it again, it's just like...
Yeah, it's like, just like, and then it's like, and it's like, there's like these girls going, oh, here comes Ted Ferguson. Yeah. Oh, you're going to love it. Yeah, and that's it.
It's best when you stretch. When you stretch it.
It's like the harder and wetter you get, the more you can stretch. And I'm like, Jesus,
right? Story of my life.
And it's just like, and then it's just like, and it, and he listens, and it's not even like he listens for a little bit and goes, I don't want to listen to any more. He listens for about 10 minutes. And just him, it's just his sister going, Ted.
His face is just a bit like, I've heard this before, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, it's just, I don't know. Yeah,
I just scratch my chin for a little bit and go, what could this be? Rewind that again. Let's have a listen to that.
We're tearing this film to pieces, aren't we? But and there's just like loads of, like, again, it's just like, it sounds like an orgy, like lots of kind of sloshing and monster noises and things like that. Yeah. It takes you to the psychologist.
Hot, wet gapes.
Yeah. Oh God! Yeah,
that's what your nose going on. Because
there's a lot. There's a line.
Oh, I've got a massive wide on.
God! Oh, the wide ons. Don't worry. The wide ons will come. The wide ons will come later. There's a line later where they go during the shunting. But I'll mention it now because it's quite funny. They go, oh, he's good. He's good and pliable now, sir. He's good and pliable, and it's just like, God, so this is, what's this leading to? Oh, God.
It was actually, the script was actually The Shunting originally.
Yeah, yeah, it's just called The Shunting.
It was going to be called The Shunting.
Yeah, I think it's probably too close to the C word to get for them to get away with it, I think.
Close to The Shining as well. Yeah. People coming into a film going, well, I didn't see Jack Nicholson once in this.
It's a lot more kind of that. He gives it to the psychologist. He edits the tape so Billy thinks he's going mad. Yeah. He was like, "No, I heard this." And
it's the same, exactly the same words, but then you hear the girl saying, "What are we doing?" First we dine, and then we go to the party. Or
It's first we dine, and then we introductions. I think they say, and then introductions. And there's still like, it's just like, again, it's more weird stuff. I do like a good horror movie that's like a slow burn.
Yeah.
And I think this is a good kind of slow burn. It's got enough weird and wacky and interesting stuff going on, but it's not like, there's not like a lot of on-screen like deaths and stuff.
It's more like science fiction than horror.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I'd argue it's more, fine.
It's like a sci-fi horror, isn't it? Mm. It's that
atmospheric kind of eerie vibe.
It's a tension builder.
Yeah, and I think it does work, and then...
Apart from him jumping out of that wardrobe, which just...
Yeah, it was just... the wardrobe jumper. we can make a film about that. But yeah, there's a great thing.
We'll be right. Spider-Man and the Secret Wars.
Yes. The Windrobe. I mean, that's a new Spider-Man villain anyway. The Wardrobe Jumper. Watch out. Spider-Man jumps in through the window. The Wardrobe Jumper catches him.
Thought in a goddamn wardrobe.
I think that's just like the South Park trapped in the closet, though, isn't it? It's just, that's all it is.
We probably seem to mention South Park.
Yeah, all the
time. It's always good, boss.
It's always good. But yeah, there's a great scene. I like when he kind of walks out and his family are like, hey, Billy, yeah, good to see you. Parents are there. And they're talking to the gardener. And the gardener's got this really fancy kind of plate. And they're like, his chopsticks and the slugs.
Yeah.
And then they're picking at them. And Billy's like, what the hell? And then they look at him like, wow, this is totally normal. This is totally normal to have slugs on a plate.
Yeah, and Nan the mum. Oh, you've got such a good crap this year.
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck?
What are you on about?
But the gardener is clearly like, he's just a bit posh dude.
Yeah,
he's just going, trying to do the best with this. Like,
yeah.
He's almost like the Price is Right pointing at the prize.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Here's what you could have won.
It's got a big slug on.
We've got a massive showcase.
On his chopsticks. Like, and then, do we ever find out what the hell the slugs are for anyway? Because you don't.
Not really. I think
I want to assume they just.
I kind of assume that the stuff at the end is kind of
flat.
Them.
Yeah.
It's kind of them inside this like shell, and that's why they're so pliable and movable. But I don't know. It's hard to say. But they could just eat them.
Should eat them.
Yeah, this could just be their food because they do eat. There are scenes where they do kind of like
there's some scenes where they do all kinds of.
It's a lot more kind of that, and there's a lot of kind of weird pranks that are played on him as well. And then he meets Clarissa Carlin, at the party because he kind of gets rejected at the party. Shauna, his girlfriend, the blonde with the bathing suit, she breaks up with him. She's done. Goes to the bar, and then Clarissa's like a really, she's just got the weirdest dialogue. And even Billy goes,
yeah, she's a weird, yeah.
Yeah,
she's a weird character, though.
Yeah, she's but I think she's kind of.
Again, it's almost like she was written one way and then switched halfway through.
You get that in the end where she's actually like a person, but before she's just kind of like, she's got lines.
She's like a robot, isn't she?
She's like, she's not lost.
A sexy robot.
Sexy robot. But there's like lines where she's like, how do you like your tea? Your black milk? Or would you like me to pee in it? And this is like...
which is when you messaged me before, I said, I did. Would you like your tea?
Exactly.
I'm not answering that.
I don't fancy
tea. I'm not playing this game.
I don't fancy tea, no. So she says all sorts of weird lines, like, don't get yourself all worked up, and, you know, there's literally a line where she goes, let's go get wet, or something. And
I think she's meant to be, like, a tease.
Yeah.
But obviously a fella has written it. So it's just like, let's go get Wes.
Yeah, let's get funked.
Oh, such a big team.
Ooh, do you want to
see a bastard? What? Do you want to see?
Pretty much, like it's the worst kind of romantic dialogue I've ever heard. Like
blunt romance.
To be fair, there are like I have had women come on to me that bluntly before.
I'm not being funny, but to be honest, if someone looked like that said anything remotely, that's it. You wouldn't even need. You would.
No, if said hello. I'd probably. Okay then. Yeah, sure. Gosh. Anything you want. Yes. But yeah, I mean, she's a Playboy model, so you would say yes instantly anyway.
But then we see her in bed.
Yeah,
and she's her legs facing one way.
Yeah.
And top half facing the other.
And then she's like, I wonder when you lost your virginity.
And it's like, and he's looking at her thinking, and then all of a sudden she's back to normal. So that's another thing where he doesn't know whether he's...
Yeah, he thinks he's... She's on top of it.
Is it earlier on the sisters in the bath, in the shower?
Oh, yes, yeah, the sisters, yeah, I forgot to mention that.
Through the frosted glass, you can see her arse.
Yeah, but then her breasts are on the same side. Yeah. It reminds me of Scrubs. It reminds me of that scene in Scrubs where they go, now the ass is on the front. But yeah, he opens the door,
as you do.
On your sister.
And you just stand there and she's like, Billy!
She's like, Billy, stop looking at me. He's like, I just wanted the sun cream, you know, which is the sun cream later, which she goes, on everybody.
The sun cream that everyone keeps in the shower.
Yeah, exactly. You know, as you do.
But yeah, so that's the first thing where you see it, like...
That's the first kind of, I think that's the first physical... deformity or you know transformative body horror aspect. Yeah. It certainly is. But yeah, she's all contorted while they're kind of having sex, kind of an awkward love scene, so I'm glad it didn't go on any longer than
isn't
it needs
like a
to.
Isn't there something that moves in her? Isn't he touching her and something like goes all squishy on her neck or something?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think he's kind of caressing her and she's like, there's like a pulse, a pulsation or something. Yeah, he's like, what the hell is that? Ooh. Yeah.
But I carry on.
But yeah.
But she's finished.
Don't question it. Just don't question it. Keep going.
Right, you know.
Finish. But yeah. It's...
To the sun cream.
Now, I'm going to talk about the most pointless character in the film now.
You go for it.
Her mum, Clarissa Carlin's mum, Mrs. Carlin.
Yes.
Who is a woman, a larger woman. Could be mistaken for a drag queen.
It reminds me of Divines.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. Yeah, they got the weird hair. And she kind of just walks around grunting.
Yeah.
And she eats people's hair.
Yeah. I think she's a shunting gone wrong.
Yeah, I think so too. I think something's not quite right.
She's like she's almost like Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yes. Yeah.
So she's like, they're all normal and she's come down with them and like on land and she bumped her head or something.
Yeah, something's
very,
yeah,
very special.
Something's damaged. Something's damaged.
She just gets people to say,
yeah, she's like coughing up hairballs and stuff like that.
But she's not scary at all.
No.
Because she touches the hair and he just goes, stop it.
Yes. Get off me. I'm just like, what is the point of that character? It's not funny. It's not scary.
Now that I'm thinking about it, it is quite funny.
It was kind of like, maybe it's borderline offensive. I don't know.
The only thing she acts as is at the end, she's like a guard dog because he goes,
yeah, just like a distraction. Yeah,
she grabs someone and starts eating the hair.
I think she grabs a cop. There's the cop, I think.
You bastards.
Yeah, it's the cop. She grabs it. She's like, grab his hair. And she grabs and she knocks him out, grabs it, and she realizes it's like a toupee, I think. And she's like, do I eat this? Do I not eat this? Yeah. And it's just so bizarre. Like a weird character, but.
Because you don't quite know either whether it's a man or a woman.
Yeah. It's just. And she's got Clarissa is like, she's in on the kind of conspiracy and society. They always keep me into the
party.
Yeah, you're like, you're part of society now. It's so like heavy handed, the kind of foreshadowing as well. But I kind of don't mind the heavy foreshadowing, but it's like, you're going to be part of society, a great contribution to society.
That adds to his paranoia.
Exactly, yeah.
Because if without that, You wouldn't think there was anything.
Exactly,
you
yeah.
think it was literally him, but because of them, bitch, you think, yeah.
Because I think you can't. I think with these films, you can't just like underplay everything. Like you have to kind of, you have to do a little tease now and again, or it just be very straightforward, and then it's like twist, and there'd be no build up and no signs. I think there are ways of doing it less obviously, but
it's a big freaky thing.
Yeah,
eating hair,
maybe like a kind of an M. Night Shyamalan sort of thing. But yeah, this is I don't know. It's again, I still enjoy it. It's cheesy. It's fun. It's I kind of like the political message in it and the themes of it. I think the teenage paranoia and kind of the alienation,
and again, much like what we discussed last time with Threads, the themes of resonate now.
Oh yeah,
again.
Oh, easily. Yeah,
the whole society.
Exactly, the upper class. That's Tories. Yeah. I've got a sequel pitch for you later. I'm gonna give you, because I've got a good one. But it was actually, this film was actually more popular in the UK.
Yes.
Than over in the US.
It came out like 3 years before. It was 89 here.
Yeah.
It was like 92.
Oh really?
In the States.
Okay.
Kind of didn't do very well in America.
No. But I think I was listening to the documentary on the DVD, and Yusna says he thinks it doesn't do very well because the US don't really believe in the class system, or don't like a lot of people. Like I read recent statistics about it as well, kind of just to delve in a little bit deeper. And current statistics state that 70% of Americans believe they're middle class. So that might be a thing. But I think in the UK we can see the divide more clearly. Politically and financially, discrepancy between races as well, and racism as well, and institutionalized racism. So we can see that. I think maybe America tries to ignore it, or tries to kind of brush it under the rug more than we do, or it's not as evident. I think maybe because we have we used to be like lords and ladies and all this sort of stuff, and barons and all that sort of stuff.
I think maybe as well, it's because in Europe, probably educated about other countries' history more.
Yeah, true. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So in America, casting a wide net here, not being American.
Not to offend any American fans.
Yeah. Assuming like the amount of Americans who don't have a passport.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if you live in America, you don't have to leave America.
You could argue there's maybe an information like vacuum that things aren't necessarily taught about. The subjects we're taught about over in this country might not take as much relevance in America.
I think the thing that we worry about in this country as well. I think in America, the political system is different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Whereas the class system and the political system in this country, especially, are hand in hand.
Yeah, exactly right. I totally agree with you. I think that's probably why it did so well over here, because we can see that. And this is coming off kind of like Thatcherite Britain as well at this time. It's Reaganomics, all that sort of stuff. So, the director's obviously trying to, the writing and the directing, he's trying to convey a message. And I like that when horror films and sci-fi films, you know, the best ones are about something, but we're telling it through a sci-fi or horror lens.
Zombies.
Yeah, exactly. Like George A. Romero is perfect, perfect example.
Every one of his films is about something.
It is, Night of the Living Dead is about racism, Dawn of the Dead, consumerism, Day of the Dead, I can't really quite remember what that one was about, but I did enjoy it.
It's about zombies.
Yeah, it's about zombies.
It was just about zombies, I don't know.
I think Day of the Dead's quite underrated, actually. I think as a zombie film. Anyway, back to this one. But yeah, I think
we digress.
We digress. We're always on a tangent.
Today's quiz: how many times have we digressed?
tangent here, a tangent there. I should just call it the Tangent Podcast because that's all it is. Just
what's a digression and what's a tangent?
Yeah, you tell us.
Answers on a postcard. Please.
Here's my digression. Here's your tangent. But yeah, I like the message. I think it comes across well. It's cheesy. It's fun. It's an hour and 40 minutes of, you know, cheesy fun.
But it's roughly halfway through we get the first death.
Yeah. And again, like,
I think the only death, isn't it? You know?
Well, no, he's not dead.
Spoiler alert.
But we didn't say who. We didn't say who, did we? We didn't say who. We need to let them know. We'll get to spoiler. We are kind of teasing the end, but we're going to get there. If you know anything about this film, it's all about the last 30, 40 minutes.
There's no spoilers. It came out in the 80s.
Yeah, exactly.
You haven't seen it by
It's almost as old as me. So that's something.
If this discussion doesn't pique your interest and make you want to watch it, you're never going to watch
it. Yeah, exactly. And if you just want to hear us talk shit about a weird film no one's ever going to see, you're on the right podcast.
You never have to watch the film because we're going to spoil it.
Yeah, exactly. So
and then you can go and watch Threads.
So yeah, there's kind of nobody wants to watch Threads. No, nobody ever wants to watch Threads. I would much rather listen to our podcast than go and see Threads again. I don't need to experience that anymore. Again, Thatcherite Britain coming right back to the same things.
A bit of politics.
I almost like to inject a touch of politics. So there's a car crash. Quite a violent one. There's a lot of blood.
A lot of blood. Very odd policeman.
Because it's like we were saying earlier, the psychologist tampers with the tape, or we still believe that Billy's going crazy and he heard something he imagined or perceived. And he's like, no, Blanchard, I need another tape. And he's like, yeah, no problem.
I got multiple copies
of this erratic sound. So yeah, he goes over, he finds Blanchard in a hot, like, it's horrific.
And we know it's Blanchard because there's wires and stuff everywhere. Yeah. Oh my God.
It's obviously Blanchard's car, man. And look at the spillage of C-3PO's in.
And he's like, oh my God, I can't believe he's dead. And then he starts rooting through the stuff. And the police,
this is a crime scene, buddy.
He's like, what do you think you're doing? He's like, oh, he's a friend of mine. He's like, I don't care. And the policeman is reacting quite normally, you know, to be fair.
You automatically go, I think there's something a little bit odd about this police officer.
Kind of aggressive.
Is there something nefarious about this gentleman?
Perhaps. I mean, you could argue that the policeman is, you know, guilty of the profiling as well. You could say that as well. Even more politics.
Maybe he's just a really shit police.
He's just a prick. Absolutely.
He just lets this kid root through the van and goes, hey, you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
You want to stop doing that, kid?
Because he wants to find that original tape. He wants proof that he's not going crazy.
They've left all the other evidence, but just literally taken the tape out of the machine.
That one's, again, that huge box full of all that stuff, all that technology, all the electronic equipment. It's all in the tape.
The dictaphone's still there.
It probably wouldn't.
But you just took the tape.
But, like, he probably wouldn't have put the master copy back in the dictaphone, would he? He would probably just have it in his pocket. You wouldn't put it in the back and then put it in the back of your car. It seemed weird. You would just have it at the front, so you wouldn't have to go back and open the car again.
Oh, if anyone who was born like in the late 90s, 2000s, a tape.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Sorry, guys. It was I mean, I hear they're coming back actually. VHS, you know, like kind of vinyl. Was it cassettes?
There's a VHS. Here's another tangent for you, James.
Yeah, here we go.
There's a video shop in Liverpool.
Really?
And they're doing a Lost Boys evening.
Nice. So, sweet. Yeah.
Videorama, I think they're called.
Videorama.
You know what? They might be called Videodrome or something. Ooh, which is even cooler.
That is cool.
There's a video shop.
Cool. That's amazing.
You rent video recorders as well.
So you rent both. So you can rent the video. Yeah.
And if you haven't got a VHS.
Yeah.
And it's massive.
Yeah.
And you've been going like for over a year, I believe.
Kind of like Be Kind, Rewind sort of thing.
As you can tell, I know a lot about it. I just know of it. I've never been.
Hey, well, Videorama, Videodrome, whatever your name is, you know.
It's worth checking out.
Post a link, maybe, or something. Yeah,
yeah, I will. Do you do events as well?
Oh, amazing. Yeah, that's cool.
Probably.
I love retro shit. You know, I'm all up for that. That's all I ever talk about.
Doing a Lost Boys one.
Nice. Sure. I do have a Lost
Boys lately. Recently, so it might be quite cool.
I'm tempted to do one of my patented Clone Balls podcasts. I'm tempted to do Lost Boys versus Catherine Bigelow's Near Dark.
Oh, I would
Yeah.
Yes, that's the argument.
That's good. That's good. Maybe you can be on it. Maybe you can be on it.
I'll be up for that.
Yeah, we can compare because I love both of them.
Yes.
But I'd like to see who would win out. That's kind of it's a big question for me. So maybe next time you come round, we'll schedule
two films, almost different genres.
Mm.
Even though
they're well, the same. I tell you what, I'll schedule that in. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, totally different genres, still the same, still different. Yeah. There's one about a horror film, there's one about a comedy. You know. I'll tell you what, I'll schedule you in for my Shock Phobia Fest in October, and we will do that. We'll do that podcast then.
Cool.
Anyway, again, back to society.
Was that a tangent or a digression? We don't know.
It was a couple. It was both. It was a tangent. Digent.
It was a
dungeon. It's a dungeon.
It's a dungeon.
It's a dungeon. There we go. You got it. Got it.
Again, copyright.
That's going to be our podcast. Great new one. Just tangents. What are we going to talk about today? Oh, I did this. I thought about this. Hey, what was that?
Oh, just had a brain fart.
Squirrel. Oh, yeah, pretty much.
There's a bird.
Ooh, a bird. Yeah, so Blanchard's dead. Blanchard's dead. There's no evidence, no tape.
And you don't see him. You see it's like he's already covered up, isn't he? It's just blood.
Yeah, it's just so much blood. It's just like I was like, it's turned over. The car's turned over,
yeah,
isn't
yeah.
it?
It's a proper wreck.
Yeah, absolutely to bits.
It's like a van, isn't it? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It's like a panel van. You expect to see kids' bodies in the back as well. You
stuff
know,
like that.
One of those times.
Yeah.
All this recording.
There's like a teddy bear in the road or something like that. Something creepy and weird. I think I once saw like a car crash with a teddy bear in the road, like a real one. And it was like, that's pretty horrific. Jeez. Yeah. It wasn't, like, you couldn't, there was nobody else there, but it was just the teddy bear. It was just left it. I was like,
put me on a downer.
Yeah. Sorry, man. Sorry.
So that's this lovely, happy film.
Well, we did. We talked about Threads. So I thought I'd inject the same sort of atmosphere. into this one. I think, yeah, his girlfriend realizes he's slept with some, his ex-girlfriend realizes he's slept with Clarissa.
Yeah.
Shauna realizes he's slept with Clarissa. So she's like, I hate you. And then you never see her again.
Yeah.
She was kind of,
to be honest, that's the best way of leaving a film ever, isn't it? Oh,
girl, I hate you. I was just like, I guess you kind of need that to kind of keep the teenage vibe going, but I probably could have done without it.
Yeah.
You could have just had him be a bit nerdier, get with Clarissa because she's super hot.
And that's the thing, isn't it? Like Shauna. Shauna.
Yeah, Shauna, the blonde, yeah.
She was smoking.
Yeah, she's hot as well, yeah.
But again, she looked about 40.
Yeah,
but, it does. Yeah, she's
a bit whiny. She's a bit whiny.
She's not like the mum, the creature in the back of the car.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I need someone hotter. It's like.
Yeah. Yeah, she's nice.
Shows you teenagers, bloody.
Exactly. Bloody hell. To be honest, she had a bit of a horrible. Well, I mean, there was a choice.
She was a terrible shit.
Yeah. She was a horrible person. But even Clarissa's just weird. Yeah. It's like, she's just like, it almost reminds me a little bit. Imagine like Spider-Man Far From Home with like MJ and that.
Mm.
But imagine her written as Clarissa. Like, just like, she's kind of like, almost like weirdly making all these weird kind of puns and these kind of weird jokes.
Peter just wants to Gwen Stacy out. Rawr off a roof.
Hey, you want to come swinging? Cry now! We'll drop you accidentally! Onomatopoeia, snap. That's the true snap of comic books. That's the true snap, is Gwen Stacy's neck. one of the weirdest bits, almost kind of horrific bits, is they're at Blanchard's funeral in a synagogue. You know, they're like, Milo and Billy are there, and
Milo is a really good character.
Yeah.
He's all, you know, he's like the little sleuth of them, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, he's kind of...
He's his real busy mate, like...
Yeah, but he does stalk him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a weirdo.
Yeah, he stalks him and leaves kind of...
That guy did the voice of Bill S. Preston Esquire in the Bill and Ted cartoon.
Wow, that is a deep cut. I haven't seen that since I was a kid. Like on Channel, I think it was on Channel 4 years ago. I remember that, yeah. But the weird thing for me, like, Milo's like a cool character. He's like, he's, you know, obviously he's like... he appears to be from like the wrong side of the tracks because like he's annoyed. He's like, you know, you only hang out with me when you want to, and you know, and that's why I play these tricks on you and things.
And I love you, Bing.
I love you. And but the weird thing for me is like they go up to the casket and then he basically just pokes Blanchard's face.
Right.
He just goes, puts his finger directly into his face.
Does he look a bit weird to you?
The family's all there, everybody's there, and he just goes, And he puts his finger through his cheek. Yeah. And he's like, oh, wow, must have been a lot of reconstruction.
He's an Easter egg.
Yeah. I was just like paper mache head.
Essentially, is. It's just like it's like a cream egg.
Yeah. But nobody fucking questioned that. No. Nobody went, oh, do you mind not poking the corpse of our son, please?
Sure, popping the head off.
Yeah, exactly. You've ruined this open casket funeral now by destroying his face. I just thought, who fucking does that? Like, you could have done that in so many different ways. Like, you could have had him be like, oh no, Blanchard, like slamming his fist on the coffin, yeah. And then maybe his like bit of his face falls off. But having him just fucking poke his dead friend face is bizarre. Like,
just to make sure he was dead. He's like, hey, here we go, pal.
There's a lot of jumps in logic in this film. And again, I love the film, but that is the biggest jump in logic for me before even the shunting. You know, I just think, don't fucking poke anybody's corpse.
Because they've even had him, like, you know, knock on the coffin, up the thing, and it falls.
Yeah, exactly. And then head's like, and then there's like worms or something coming out of it.
At least have him poke it and somebody react.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like, and then he's, I don't think they even look round. Yeah. They kind of just go, oh, well, must have been a lot of reconstruction.
I don't know whether,
anyway.
I don't know whether it was actually in the script, but I'm sure it made them go, oopsie. And just skip off. And then someone in the crowd went, oh, that Billy.
What are they like?
And then it ended.
Yeah, that's it. That's the end of the film.
Flowers come up.
Blanchard's funeral. Death at a funeral. Oh, dear. So again, more and more kind of stuff unravels, which kind of leads up to, I think we've got to talk about it now because we've danced around it kind of long enough. To be fair, there's a bit.
Let's get to that.
We're going to get to the
shunting. I want to get to the shunting.
You want to get. I mean, all the characters in this film. I think everybody watching this film wants to get to the shunt. But there's a few more kind of murders and stuff happen.
Oh, no, the thing is, as you mentioned before, he's this like master debater.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
a debate with.
Yeah, the other guy.
What's his name?
I don't remember. The guy with glasses. Black. Yeah. Call him
Poindexter.
Yeah, call him Poindexter.
He's a real Poindexter.
He's a real Poindexter.
He is a Poindexter. Yeah, and he's like, you know, yeah.
He's got that kind of preppy, like he wears the kind of Doug. Sweater on his neck and yeah.
Doug cartoon.
Yeah, he does look a bit like Doug actually. Yeah,
Skeeter. So he's
he comes up to him at the funeral and says, "I need to talk to you.
Yeah,
I need to talk to you about society. About the society."
Benjamin was right, man.
Yeah, he was right.
Fuckers. Poke him in the face again.
Keep poking him.
Something strange going on, right?
I tell you what, let's just throw the casket over. Come on, it's fun.
It's a fight in his fucking place, man.
But so he goes, oh, meet me later at night.
Meet me in the wood.
And he goes, yeah, meet me in the woods.
He strokes his hand and walks away.
Yeah.
And Billy goes, okay then.
It's like, you know, I'm you know, sexually flexible. I'm pliable. I'm pliable.
And he's no me. I'm going.
So he meets him, and then there's another car crash and another murder, and someone grabs Billy.
He finds him with his throat cut.
Yeah, that's right. But
hasn't the car gone off into the woods?
Yeah.
So it's where they're gonna meet miraculously.
Right. Yeah, weird.
So luckily he crashed exactly where. When he sees the crash, he's actually had his throat cut. So he goes to the policeman and goes, "Oh, my friend's had his throat cut." But he goes up and there's nobody there.
Yeah,
everything's gone. The car's gone.
Yeah,
there's no sign of him.
Exactly. And next time I see you, buddy, it's the same cop.
So again, he thinks he's there's only one cop in this whole
town,
the whole place,
and he's in on it.
So again, that adds to Billy's like, "Am I mad?"
Yeah.
What is this? What is this? Where am I? Who am I?
And then they go to the debate and they're like, well, my debate partner, the guy I'm debating against, isn't going to turn up. He's dead.
Yeah.
Which is probably not the best way to announce somebody's death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're all quite well. He says somebody's death, but then he goes, no, he's dead. And then everyone reacts then, even though he mentioned the death. In like two or three lines prior.
And then Poindexter comes out.
So. Yeah, and he's like, does there seem to be a problem here?
Yeah, what are you saying?
And they're like, he's never late for anything. He's never late. And he's like, I had car trouble. And then he runs off and he's like, go crazy.
That's a spin of a sore throat.
Then he goes home. He's like, I'm going mad. And everyone's here. It's great you're all here because you're all sending me crazy. And he's like, is it earlier? He says, fuck you. No, that's earlier, isn't it? Like, there's a scene where he comes in and he's like, that's it, after Blanchard's death. Yeah, there's a scene where he comes in and he goes, you know, Blanchard's dead. And
fuck
like,
you, butthead.
And they go, Yeah, he goes, you know, he gives him this letter and he's like, look, and you've been invited to that party, and he goes to the party. We're jumping all over the plot of the film, but yeah, he goes to that party and he's like...
It is one of those films where we, bits seem to have happened later.
Yeah, when they probably should have. Yeah, it should have happened, but it's fine. I only watched it today. I've already forgotten the through line.
We're selling this film to you.
Yes, available now.
To be honest, when we get to the end, it's all mixed up anyway.
It is, yeah.
Bodies and everything. Yeah. but yeah, so, and he's like, you know, they're like reacting. They're like, we're so happy you're going to this party. It's great. It's like a high-class party. Ted, the tycoon Ferguson, is going to be there. He's running the party. That's where he meets Felicia and goes to have sex with her. But she's like, he's like, why don't you care about Blanchard? And like, just a guy.
Yeah.
He's dead. And he's like, no, you've got to react. And to be honest, I wasn't really that fond of Blanchard, so I was kind of like, I'd probably react the same way.
I'm quite done with these dead.
Yeah. But they're like, why don't you react? And he's like, no, you're behaving, upsetting your mother. And he's like, fuck you, butthead.
Yeah.
He's like, butthead? How dare you?
Yes. That's a butthead. Foreshadowing.
Yeah, like leaves. And then he comes home, and then they all jump him. Yeah. All the society jump him.
The judge.
Yeah, the judge is there. He's like, yeah, he's got a big cigar. Yeah, the judge.
The judge who ends up with Blanchard's.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Don't worry, we're getting there.
Oh, sorry. We're
getting there. We're almost there. So yeah, and he gets taken to a hospital and...
Oh, yeah. And Milo kidnaps. Follows him to the hospital.
Yeah, with Mrs. Carlin.
But then he just... Yeah, Mrs. Carlin, she's boss. She's my spirit animal.
It's like a fat vampire from Plan 9. That's what
it is. It was really weird, kind of. It's like he almost wrote it for a different film and went, you know, I've got to use her.
Slap her in.
I've got to use her somewhere.
I wish they kind of would have explained why she was a bit weird.
I think she should have her own film.
Mrs. Carlin. Mrs. Carlin versus George Carlin.
she was just really odd. But he goes to the hospital, and like by the time he's kind of get there, sees Billy's Jeep, and then Billy kind of like he goes in, Billy comes out,
yeah,
and just gets off, and then he's like,
it's really weird when he comes out.
He thinks
he's
like realized he's mad,
yeah,
and he's like, kind of given up. Yeah, and
like,
you know what?
It's like, I'm crazy, Billy the Wonder Kid one, yeah. and then Milo's like, no, you're being weird, you're being really weird,
and then he drives home.
And then they jump him again, and they go, you know, time for the shunt.
Yeah.
So we realize. So spoilers now. These are definitely, we've teased it enough. Spoilers now. The psychologist, who's kind of, I think he's kind of the puppet master a little bit.
Yeah.
The psychologist.
Yeah.
Working on behalf of the judge and everybody else. They reveal that they're part of an ancient race. Mm-hmm. Because he thinks they're aliens. He's like, you're alien scum. And he's like, no, we're actually much older than humans. We've been here much longer. And we've always been, you know, it was like, there's a line earlier where it's like, it's what you're born to. And you're just, you're below us. You're not even on the same level. You're not even in the same species of us. We are better than you. You're low class, you know, scum. And we've always kind of fed on you and everything.
Because that's what the tycoon guy turned into.
Yeah, he goes
spitty angry thing.
He goes, the line's something like, what, didn't you know, Billy boy? We've always sucked off low class people like you.
And Billy's like, oh, have you? I would have come earlier had I known.
Well, again, the shunting. So they kind of explain a little bit. It's still quite vague. Yeah. Like, and I think
it's like it was supposed to be a cult.
Well, I think originally it was supposed to be in the original, because the original script was with him, with Usner and Dan O'Bannon.
O'Bannon.
From Alien.
Yeah.
Who wrote Alien and Buried Alive or Dead and Buried, or some other stuff as well. Big kind of screenwriter. But yeah, they were going to have a blood cult, but then he wanted something different, something weirder and wackier. Yeah, body horror and stuff, because he loves all that sort of stuff. Mm. Like, if you see From Beyond and all those kind of films, you can tell why. And
that's a Lovecraft element to it.
Yeah, and a Japanese studio funded this and Bride of the Reanimator back to back. He said, I'll do two films, you'll fund me, I'll do Bride of the Reanimator for you. However, society needs to be first. That has to be the first film. And they're like, fair enough, let's go for it. And they hired this Japanese special effects guy, Screaming Mad George. Mm. Not his original name. Surprising. But he is very inspired by Dali. I think there was a few pieces. Great masturbator, yeah. But yeah, it's one of those ones. And it's kind of, yeah, all the bodies kind of.
He's not a great masturbator, the Dali painting.
No, exactly. Famous, well, I mean, it depends. Like, it could be, you could be masturbating over himself, you know.
Possibly, you know, you just don't know, do you?
You know,
screaming mad. You know? I mean, oh, that's screaming mad.
Yeah, exactly. Screaming mad. So he kind of created a lot of this, all the special effects in this, and they're absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
they are superb, amazing, and disgusting. Absolutely
pure filth.
Yeah, it's, they start kind of
sweaty, slimy.
They're all covered in this kind of like gooey substance.
It is properly.
Yeah, it is, and it's like there's someone's grabbing like an arse cheek, and then their fingers go directly into the arse cheek, and there's like nipples being sucked on, but they're being pulled
and
across
then
the room.
And then his face is deadlocked, stretching out like a beak.
The judge kind of explains that what they did was that Billy's not their kid, not her. He is adopted, and he's from a lower class family that he never met, and he, you know, even the judge says, we don't know where you're from. We just, you know, got you 15 years ago, but they need to kind of conjure this fear and paranoia and these negative feed off these negative emotions, and they're all, you know, it's an all an act, and they're like, oh, you know, I think one of them says, you know, it's show business. The psychologist says it's show business. Like, he really chews the scenery, the psychologist, in it. Yeah. So much so that later he turns in, his head turns into a giant hand, kind of like a devil horn.
Let me give you a hand, Billy.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just his head is a giant hand, and he stretches out of the same kind of hand gesture.
But he's been in Lotha, the fairy plays, the psychologist.
He's not seen him in.
You know where you're facing, you go,
I'll look him up.
Been in loads of TV shite that I've seen.
Yeah, the reveal is that Blanchard's still alive.
Yeah.
So that the body we saw in the casket is a false body, pretend, what have you. Bring him in, and he's the first participation in the
shunting.
The first shunty. So yeah, they kind of sort of explain it a little bit. Again, it's kind of they're kind of absorbing him, I think, into them. They're kind of sucking, and the body, it goes along with what they said, like the warmer and wetter you get, the more you can do with your body, and the more pliable you are. But yeah, the judge is kind of in charge. He's the leader. So the hunt has been, because there's two things that go, we love the hunt, and we love the smell of the hunt, and we love the taste of the shunt, you know, and it's all about conjuring up those kind of, and Blanchard obviously has had those same feelings as well, so that's what they can feed on him first.
He's now totally terrified.
Basically, they all start kind of getting involved and kind of in this kind of big homogenous mass.
Big orgy.
Yeah, it's basically like, it's an orgy, but when you would melt into each other kind of thing. A really hot orgy, not in a sexy way, but just like, and what I quite like about it as well is it's not just like, horror movies tend to have the kind of young, naked, nubile, buxom ladies, people of all sexes, all the different sexes and all the different kind of ages as well. So you're seeing these really fucking elderly old men with their arses out and their balls out and everything. And you're like, and I quite appreciate that. It's not just,
I quite like that.
Yes.
Sure.
No, I appreciate that. It's not just, you know, it's not just, oh, we're all beautiful women.
Yes.
You know, it's
like, it has been throughout the film.
Exactly.
And at the end, it's like,
we've had our sexy moments. We've had our titillation.
Yeah.
This is not titillation in the slightest.
That should have been.
Yeah, if you're into body melting or body dysmorphia,
and all that.
maybe screaming.
Cool.
Yeah, who knows? And you know, Blanchard's melting, and all these hands and everything starts kind of congealing into each other, and then they call over the judge. And like I said earlier, he's pliable now, judge, and he's like, ah, great. Let me come over. And he starts like takes his clothes off and he like juices himself up. And then basically the judge starts kind of like, I think he coughs off like a hairball. He starts eating him.
He starts coughing up bits of him.
Coughing bits of hair.
And then he ends up with his.
Yeah, I think that's right at the end. I think that just before. But before that, he's like making this kind of fist motion. Yeah. And he's like, let's get to the bottom of things. And basically fists Blanchard to death, which is not a phrase I thought I'd ever say. In life.
Well, I think it was quite progressive for its time.
So he kind of like, again, the body's all stretched out and malleable, and he you can see the fist going up his stomach while he's screaming. Like just kind of like traveling up the stomach, and then it comes out of his face.
Like a bowling ball.
Yeah, like a bowling ball. Popping the eyes out. And it's just like he's a puppet. It's just like, and it's just fucking disgusting. Like this, if you don't want to watch the whole film, fair enough. Like I can understand that, but you kind of owe it yourself to be grossed out. If you like body horror and you like to be grossed out, this is the scene for you. Like David Cronenberg wishes he thought this shit up, like, you know, in some form. This is like the almost
absolute madness.
This is zenith. Yeah, the zenith of kind of body horror. And, you know, it basically takes everything that has ever been implied in a Cronenberg movie and makes it explicit, entirely explicit. Sexuality and body horror all mixed together. And fisting to death. So,
but then you kind of realise Blanchard was only there to basically, so they didn't have to kill Billy straight away. So
yeah.
He could, of course, try and escape.
Yeah, exactly.
And he punches Tycoon Ted.
That's right, yeah.
Like, basically, doesn't he fist him?
Yeah, so that's right. That's the finale. That's the actual finale. So he manages to escape, and then he ends up in the bedroom of his family, and
nearly missed the best bit of the
game. Yeah, exactly. My favorite bit. And his mum's there, and then he's like, oh, and his mum's there, kind of like,
this is the proper incest, the most incestuous part.
Yeah, they're basically during the shunt, there's
an orgy going on. Yeah. But this family are on their own, and yeah, having their own.
The nan, the mum, calls them away. Excuse me, calls them away, and they go off on their own, doing their own thing. Come into the room, and she kind of looks like a mannequin, like the top half of a mannequin with no arms, just the head, chest. But then there's two very masculine arms, and she jumps off the bed and starts walking towards Billy on these weird masculine arms. And it's quite obvious. There's a shot where it's quite obviously not her face. It's just like a puppet's face. And you're like, okay, that's not the best cast I've ever seen. But it just starts walking towards her. And then he falls over. And then all of a sudden, out between the mother's legs and these two masculine arms, it's not even legs, is it? It's two masculine arms. Between the two masculine arms, pops his sister's head. And she goes, you ever want to indulge in any Oedipal fantasies, Billy? Yeah,
which is funny because that's the wrong...
No, yeah, it's a mother thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But technically, it's the same body, but it's got the dad's arms. The daughter's face as a crotch and the mum's top half. So maybe it would be all of the pedials or any other pedials that were, you know, all these complexes. Yeah, anything Freud ever thought of is in that you could potentially have that scene.
If screenshots invented back then, he could have just looked at that and gone, that's what I meant.
This is what I've been talking about. But then he kind of falls to the other side of the room. He's just trying to get away. And then all you can hear is, and then you're like, bruh, 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 like this, and it's his, yeah, he's going, bruh, 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 and it's his dad.
Fart.
Just do like lip, just making those noises, and it's his dad, and it's two female legs and an arse. And between the arse, where the bum hole would be,
stretched. It's a bit like when Jim Carrey comes out of the rhino.
Yes, yeah. I thought you were gonna make the like hello. I thought you were gonna do that thing in the arse. Detective Butts here, but it's his dad's head in between, and he's like, hey Billy, I guess I am a butthead. It's just fucking stupidest, shittiest joke, shittiest visual gag you've ever seen, but it's kind of brilliant as well.
Yeah. Basically, the only reason he had that bit of dialogue earlier in the film, calling him a butthead,
was to do that. Purely for that making of that.
You can tell when he's writing, he's gone, oh, I know. You know when someone calls you a butthead?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought, what if I actually had a butt coming out of my head?
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Let's write that down.
It's a butthead. Okay, butthead.
No, he's got to say it earlier, though, so that people know what we're on about.
Yeah.
Let's just, in the middle of nowhere, let's just say fucking butthead. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Right on,
I love that this has just became like a Beavis and Butthead. It's literally become a Beavis and Butthead. Cornholio! He definitely did.
No, but it's the fact that it's when you do. I'd forgotten all about it. Not literally. I remember the him being the butthead.
Yeah.
But you doing that.
It's pretty much that.
That's literally what he's doing. Like, he's
he does actually.
He's having the best time of his life, isn't he?
And then they go back down, and then it's even more like body horror. They're all strung out, and they're not even people anymore.
No,
like the judge's face, which is really weird. They managed to like capture the judge's face, but it's like a melted face with like these big teeth, and it's just like, and the cigar's still there, and it's clearly his eyes as well, which is really good that they used him. It's just like the blob or something. And then Billy challenges Ted Ferguson, you know, sucked off these low class pieces of shit like you, challenges him to a fight. And then they're all like, oh, and they all sort of congeal back together, back into their kind of human forms.
Really quick. As soon as he goes, I'm going to fight you.
Yeah, it's really quick. They're like, oh, we're all
pliable. We're all human again.
But even the judge says, I'm getting too old for this. And he's like, oh, beauty mark. Yeah, beauty mark. Ah. He's like loving it. It's almost like they get the parents come down and they're in their normal forms as well, human forms anyway. And he's like, it's kind of a matchup, a title fight. Yeah. You know, Billy the Nobody against Ted the Tycoon Ferguson. Yeah, and then basically Ted the Tycoon Ferguson, he's like doing these kind of martial arts shit, like spin kicks and throwing him off. And Billy's like not even trying, he's just like falling all over the show. And then he starts like licking him, and then he starts kind of to eat him, kind of absorb him. So he goes to, and he kisses him on the lips. He's like, and then it starts, because they kind of, every time they pull away, they kind of have this suction face, kind of a duck face almost.
It reminds me of Beetlejuice when you got the line.
Oh, yeah, when they stretch the faces out, yeah. Like, But yeah, he does that. But then, and then he's like, right, time for a shunt. And then he's, again, the shunting is basically just a bit of fisting, I think. It's like melting and fisting, basically. Yeah. So he goes in, and he goes in, and he manages to grab the rubbery hand, and he takes it. And then he's like, oh. And then he shoves it up Ted Ferguson's ass, and then he gets separated, and then more cartoon sound effects. Yeah, it's like it's all this kind of noise he's doing, and it's just like, and the actor on the documentary said, pretty sure I didn't make that noise on the day. I think they added that in later, and he's just like getting fisted, getting his own fist all the way fed through him. And
then, it is that noise as well, isn't it?
Like that. It's just fucking bizarre. And then, he gets Ted Ferguson gets his own rubbery fist shoved right up him, and then he pops. It does the same thing. So he's seen it before, and he's popping the eyes out of Ted Ferguson's face.
That rubbery fist, I believe, is a popular sex toy now.
Yeah, I imagine so.
I've seen it somewhere. Yeah, I remember where. Wish.com, probably.
Honey, or whatever it's called. Honey Love, or whatever the fuck. Ann Summers. And then turns him inside out. So we've seen two deaths by fisting in one film, which, again, not a sentence I thought I'd ever say.
Double death by fist.
Double death fist. That's
what you should have called it.
That's what we call it. Double death fist. Ha!
When you turn inside out, you can see it's like alien.
Yeah, so it's got all the kind of centipedes, slugs, worms.
That's where so they're like made from.
Yeah, that's why I kind of think they're like some sort of parasitic thing. Or
maybe that gardener was actually the nanny.
You know what I noticed this time?
The kids.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe he's like a babysitter or something. What a great batch. What a great batch of kids. But there was a line that I didn't hear last time I watched it. And he goes, oh, wait, stand back. Wait for him. I think they said wait for him to recongeal or re-emerge or refresh. And then kind of Milo breaks in at that kind of point with Miss Carlin. Miss Carlin. Mrs. Carlin, what's she doing? And she kind of attacks one of them, and then they leave, jumping the. Clarissa's there as well. Sorry, we didn't mention her. She comes back and is.
Clarissa's now a good guy.
Yeah, she just all of a sudden takes a turn. She's like, "I love you, Billy." Like, I don't know where this came from, but you know, he was sort of involved. Like after the fake car crash and throat cutting, he turns up directly outside her house, and he goes, "What are you doing here?" And she goes, "I live here." I was like, "Right, what an absolute bit of pointless." Anything. It's not a perfect film at all. What I do quite like,
it is fun,
yeah, like we've had fun just talking about it, let alone watching it. What I do quite like about it is it doesn't really resolve, it doesn't really have a resolution. Like he doesn't manage to kill off all of society, because he couldn't possibly do that, because like they said,
I don't know how far it goes either.
Exactly, yeah, it could go internationally for all he knows. It's not, might not just be this little community, it could be as far up as, you know, presidents, White House, something like that. And what can one guy do? Like, you know, he turned that guy inside out, but, you know, how does he, you know, how does it work? Again, because it's quite vague, their powers and their abilities and stuff. I think it'd be vague to kind of kill them. Like, even that line says to me that he's going to reform, even though he's killed them. So, but I think that's kind of true of real life as well. You wouldn't...
No, that's what I always say about most horror films. The girl's getting chased by a killer. There's all these deaths happen.
Yeah.
She kills someone. I'd like to see it, like the follow-up film be a courtroom drama about how she's getting like...
Yeah, I always think that.
You've been set fire to 5 houses and killed 74 people.
Yeah, and then you've got no proof. He was wearing a mask. It's all this sort of stuff. Yeah, I always think about that. The kind of it's always... Everything's a little too neat.
Yeah.
Everything's tied up a little too neatly. But again, it's not really what you're coming to that film for. But I think, politically, I think, you know, even nowadays, yeah, we can see, you know, people in power doing horrible things and people still being quite powerless to change that and to not do, you know, as much as we vote in opposition of these certain people, these political parties, and, you know, even the political parties you thought were quite good, you know, something comes out about, you know, racial hatred and things like that. You know, and I think that's quite, like you said, very relevant to today.
And Clarissa.
Yeah.
Is she's on one side, and then as soon as it suits her, she flips.
Yeah, and how does... And
that's
how does...
very much like the political parties of today.
The, what's it, the...
It's almost like me... It was written about politics.
But it very much is, I think, a political film and a film about class and, you know, and the vilification of kind of the people in those that have money and the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do vilify, you know, people that do have money because there are certain people that do have money are fucking horrible.
I can't help it, though. Just, you know.
you're just rolling it, handsome.
I know
successful.
The people listening can't see, but I'm sat on a throne made of banknotes.
Yeah, toilet as well.
I just bring it with me.
Yeah, he's heading home for a shunting.
A commode of shunted banknotes.
I think the last line is, he goes, "Well, since Ted the Tycoon's bed, I've got an opening in Washington." So, and that's it. And then, you know,
the whole thing, the Washington thing is saying it.
Exactly, saying that's how far it goes. And I think that's important. One of the creepier elements to the film, which I think is really effective, is they use the Eton boating song. And it's like, do, 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 join society, you know, all this sort of stuff. And it's really effective and creepy, and the lyrics in it kind of, obviously it's rewritten slightly, it's not just the Eton boating song, it's a version of it, and it does kind of make you feel very uneasy, and the lyrics are very kind of like, you know, when you drink the best champagne and all this sort of stuff,
it's,
you know,
it's very, very odd.
Yeah, and it's
what I would say to people who've listened to us prattle on about it.
We certainly have. This is Prattle World.
Do you know what, it sounds like my kind of film. I've always wanted to see a film with shunting in it.
Yeah, you want a good shunting?
God damn it, Mom. You know when we used to love a good shunting and always say, hey, there's no films? Well, you can. It's on Shudder.
Shudder. Okay, so it's not available. Not Shunter,
it's
but
on
Shudder.
It's on Shudder.
Yeah, so...
So you can get your free trial of Shudder.
I was looking just on YouTube then.
Give it a watch.
And it looks like it might be on YouTube as well.
All right.
So it's there. Maybe if you have a look, maybe put in Society 1989, see if it comes up.
Yeah, don't put Society in.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. Make sure you put the year in, because there's so many. I mean, Dead Poets Society came out the same year, so that might pop up for you. Do you want to hear my pitch for a sequel? Staying on that political front, that political idea. Yeah. My idea for a sequel... 1980s Thatcherite Britain, okay, satirising the rise of Boris Johnson, David Cameron. Are you aware of the Bullingdon Club?
Yes, of course.
So it's going to be all about, it would be all about the Bullingdon Club, like, private school education, private school clubs and all that sort of stuff. And there's two young teenagers who their parents have just won the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
So lower class, come into money, parents decide to send them to a private school. You know, they're on the cusp, they're nerdy, they're not necessarily accepted. Two brothers and a sister, who knows, whichever kind of formation you'd want. One of them wants to be part of the gang, wants to be included, doesn't want to be alienated, doesn't want to feel alone, wants to have the girls, be popular, and do all the weird and wacky pig-related sexual activities, all that other stuff.
Allegedly.
Yeah, and there's like a hazing, and he has to go through kind of rituals to get to that point. Mm-hmm. And then the other sibling is like the opposite. It's like, doesn't want any part of it, just wants to be themselves, maybe make some friends that aren't kind of part of that private kind of school club, things like that. And obviously it gets further and further, and then you get a shunting again, and maybe he tries to save his brother, can't save the sibling, the other sibling escapes. Very similar, kind of more of like a reboot or a retelling, but I think it would work really well with that kind of UK class element in the kind of the recent political, you know, manoeuvrings.
It'd work better in a UK setting now, I think.
Yes, set nowadays, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah, I think it could work. But that's my pitch. That's my pitch for a reboot, sequel, or requel.
A requel.
Because, like we said, it didn't say it was kind of localized to that area.
It's a worldwide phenomenon.
Even so, I think the dad right at the end, he's really chewing the scenery at the end because he's kind of like squinting. He's kind of like got this like, shunt him. I want to see him shunted.
It has gone very, well, once you go butt.
Yeah, true. Once you've
you
been
lose your nut.
Yeah.
You've just got to watch the film just to see this.
Just to see the butt head clip.
Dan's impression there is pretty much spot on.
Yeah. I do try my best.
Laughing his head off, making fart noises out of the crack of someone else's arse.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
But what makes me laugh as well, if I remember that scene, we can't be arsed doing the special effects properly. So just put a cover over it.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's underneath the quilt.
Yeah, yeah.
He's coming out from under the quilt.
He does this. waddles out from underneath the quilt, and it's just like butthead. As Billy leaves, his dad says like, "You'll never get away with this," and he punches him and says, "Of course," he says, "Fuck you, butthead."
Yeah.
And I think that's his final line in the film.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I would have been interested to see where, like, Clarissa and Billy would go after that, and with her.
I don't know where Shauna went.
Shauna, yeah.
I think she went and opened a florist.
Well, earlier when Mrs. Carlin is introduced, she's coughing up blonde hair, and I thought she'd been killed because they're like, "Oh, who's that?" Because there's a scene with her and a girlfriend, and like, "Who's that?" Who's like, "Oh no, we better leave." And then she's coughing up the scene after. She's coughing up blonde hair, so I thought she'd been killed. But then she comes back. And I thought that would have been a better ending and getting her out of the way.
Maybe she was having a fling with Mrs. Carlin.
Maybe. eating her out and eating her hair.
You don't know where that hair came from.
Oh God. What's that bit in RoboCop where he's like, "Does the hair match down there?" And then luckily he gets his penis blown off.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect end to that. Yeah, perfect end.
With hair, though, I don't think she had much hair, judging by the...
Oh, yeah, the lack of... Yeah.
Camel area.
You made me think of... do you remember Smack the Pony? Do you remember Smack the Pony? And they used to have a sketch where a woman would go to, like, a swimsuit, and she'd just have massive pubes coming out of the swimsuit. She'd just be acting like nothing's totally wrong, but everyone's looking at her massive pubes coming out.
I don't think our friend suffered from them.
No, probably not.
Judging by that. Jesus.
Bikini.
Oh my God, everyone needs to watch this film just to see that bikini more.
That bikini line.
I'm not making this shit up.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, excuse me.
Every teenage boy should watch it.
But yeah, again, it might well put you off boobies for 17 minutes or however long it put you off boobies.
It was roughly 17 minutes. The worst 17 minutes of my life, man.
Oh dear, shunting.
But then I got over it.
Well, I think we've talked quite heavily.
Shunt away.
I mean, we've avoided the shunt for as long as we can, but yeah, you've got to see it to believe it, I think. That one scene, that last half an hour or so. I mean, I think the build-up is quite good and it's entertaining. It's only...
If you've seen Reanimator, any of the Reanimator films,
From Beyond,
any of those type of films, you'll like it.
It does have a Lovecraftian element, I think, as well, because it's like you said, it's like a race of...
I don't think it's as comedic as...
Reanimator is quite funny. Yeah,
but it kind of is because of the acting and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't think it's meant to be.
No,
some of the script and stuff.
But yeah, like we said, some of the lines and the dialogue.
It is a watchable film.
Yeah, it's not so bad. It's good, but it's good enough and bad enough. It's somewhere in the middle between bad and good.
It's one of those films like where, as Will say to you, go and listen to it. Go and watch it. You'll watch it. and go, yeah, it was all right.
Yeah.
It was daft.
It was a romp. Yeah. You know.
Some people go, that's the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, I
go on a shunting mayhem film.
I mean, again, it's not the best horror movie I've ever seen. It's not particularly scary.
It's not really a horror film.
No, like you said, I think you're right in saying it's a sci-fi.
Like Get Out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's got that psychological element all the way through.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not a massive fan of jump scares anyway. For me, I like a good, eerie, atmospheric horror film. Yeah, builder, slow burn. Again, I saw Midsommar recently, and that was it's 2.5 hours. So it's a bit, it's too much of it.
Too long for me.
Yeah, it was too much.
The new Annabelle as well is the same.
What, 2.5 hours?
I think it's only an hour and a half, but
it's slow burn.
It's a build.
Yeah. Not much. Yeah. Well, I will say, like, the build is worth it. Yeah. Like the payoff is
it's basically the film is made.
Yeah.
He just wanted to make that orgy.
Yeah. He just went,
what can we put around
this
it?
Scene? I'm going to kind of create something. But again, like there's great themes in there. It's great. It's well played. It's like, it's not well written necessarily, but like,
it's of its time.
It's a little cheesy. It's fun. Exactly. And it's a lot of fun. But I reckon you should all go watch it. You've enjoyed it. Yeah. You know, even with its flaws. We enjoy it.
I enjoyed it when it came out.
We have talked about its flaws. So.
I enjoyed it on VHS when it came out originally, and I enjoyed it rewatching it on Shudder.
Shudder.
And Shudder's got it. It's on the Billy Bob's Drive-In.
Okay, cool.
As well.
So he makes kind of comment and stuff. Yeah,
as well, which is
that's cool.
Different. I think you can watch it both
without
ways.
Yeah, if you want.
Both ways.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
You're
if you like it both ways, you can get it on ships.
It's kind of like Subway, you know, have it your way is shunting. That's the tagline to the shunting. Have it your way. Any way you want it, that's the way you need it.
so if you want to watch it for free legally, you can actually get your free trial.
And if you want to go on YouTube before they take it down, it's there as well.
It'll probably never get taken down on YouTube.
Yeah, to be fair.
Although YouTube are talking about leaving the UK at the moment.
Really?
Because...
Don't even get me started.
Because of the laws.
All the laws. All those bloody laws.
You never know if we're going to have that for long. So if you're in the UK, you may as well go and watch it now while you've got a chance.
Right. Well, before we go, where can everybody find you and your page, your business, anything you're promoting? What are you doing?
I'm not doing a lot at the moment.
No, me neither.
My Facebook page is @DanBurgessPhoto.
Mm-hmm.
DanBurgess01
mm-hmm.
on Twitter, mm-hmm. which is my sweary one.
Oh, the sweary one.
And me Dan's Photo 1 is me photography one.
Okay.
Which is a bit more professional.
Mm, just a little.
And then I'm on Instagram as Dan's Photo.
Great stuff. So I will tag you in all of the social medias anyway. So if somebody wants to find you that way, they can find you that way.
Don't find me.
He'll be too busy shunting. He's off shunting again, honestly. Can't stop with the shunting. You can find us on, well, Dan, Spider Dan and the Secret Balls. I can't even remember my own name, the podcast name. So talked about so much shunting. My brain's shunted.
Yeah,
it's in my foot now. And you know,
shunter Dan and the
my erogenous zones are in my knee.
And you've got the face in your ass.
Yeah, pretty much. what do you think I'm doing tonight? I'm getting nice and pliable.
I thought it was warm in here.
Yeah, that's the reason. It's a lather you up.
Oh, no.
So you can find Dan and the Secret Balls on Facebook @SecretBalls. On Twitter, it's @Dan_Balls. Instagram is SpiderDanSecretBalls, all one word. The podcast is available on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and YouTube, and many, many more. Thank you for joining us. Have you had fun, Dan?
Hi, as always.
As always, we'll have you back soon. Definitely in October for that Lost Boys Near Dark mashup.
More proper scout.
Oh yeah. This is what I love. I love a good bit of scouse. And on that note, we're going. Bye-bye.
Bye.